followers of Christ, his dear children here, he says, follow me as I am in line following Jesus. Every one of us needs a spiritual mentor. If you believe that, say amen. Someone who's further down the road that you can look at and follow. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. We call this officially the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper. When he had given thanks, he brake and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Despite contrary opinion, he's not advocating cannibalism. That's the new foolish thing last 20 years, people say. He is simply doing the representation. He is taking that beautiful Passover meal, the four cups and the bread, and he is infusing that with new meaning, the fulfillment of what they'd been doing all those years, every Passover. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Underline, highlight that in your Bible. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, now he does something we don't do. People are bored. People roll their eyes. People skip communion or Lord's table services. But he says this is a serious matter. Whosoever eat the bread and drink the cup of the word of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It's a serious thing to not be ready. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. There are people that have died because they abuse this. Gracious. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not need to be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, we should not be condemned to the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. This agape supper, this love supper, they were starting to have. And they were doing it multiple times a week. Some were not working, and they were just coming and sponging off others. Others, instead of saying, hey, this is a time of fellowship and remembrance, they were just kind of gorging themselves and doing all this. They weren't being polite, and they made a mockery of it. If any man hunger, let him eat at the house, at home, that ye not come together into condemnation. The rest I will set in order when I come, when he comes to visit the churches there at Corinth. So I want to help us. Remember, don't forget. Remember, don't forget. Would you pray with me, Father, front to back, left to right, speak to our hearts. Change our view of what we're about to do. Help us to understand and obey. And Father, the powerful truth is not just we need to remember, we need to examine ourselves. So I pray we do that. Would there be conviction up and down every row? Would there be conviction all those who watch? Would there be adjudication, judgment in our lives? And oh, how I pray you do that right now. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me. Lord, I believe this is the message of the hour. And Lord, I just ask you to help us. So thank you for what you're wanting to do in our lives. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me. May I preach well, communicate, clearly enunciate, understandably. I ask it all in your son's wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. Excuse me, keep your Bibles open. Pardon me. If I keep coughing, nobody can go to sleep. I know that's a problem. It's just black coffee. Sometimes it's tea. Sometimes it's just a hot coffee. And all. Let's see, guys. I'm sorry. Yep, we got it. Y'all got the service recording and all. Yeah. If I say the name Mike Rowe, does anybody here know who Mike Rowe is? If I say it real fast, it's Mike Rowe. But what's Mike Rowe known for? Jobs. What kind of jobs? My wife's got it. You get a quarter. Dirty Jobs. Anybody ever seen the show Dirty Jobs? It's maybe the most hands ever. Anybody here on the TV? Nobody ever here owns a TV. Bless your heart. And if I said that, if you're really old, I suppose you'd know him from a shopping network. Anybody remember where he used to be at? QVC. You are on fire today. If you're sitting on the second row, you get all the quarters and the gift cards. But even before that, hysterically, he sang with the Boston Opera. and a great baritone voice and all. And I heard him. He was being interviewed for something back a few years ago, and he was talking. He was talking about the power of memory and the problem of forgetfulness. And he said, before Dirty Jobs, before Discovery Channel, before QVC and selling tchotchkes at 3 a.m., he said, I had been impressed to develop my talents, and he said, in just a long series of events, and had ended up on the stage singing with this opera troupe, opera company, there in the Boston area. And he said, and it had been a great performance, and he was couldn't imagine, you know, all these kind of things were going on in his life. And he said he was crossing an intersection. He said it was a late night and curtain calls and afterwards and gotten a bite to eat. He said, and it was the other side of 1 a.m. He said, and I was going through the intersection. I had the green light. He said, and a man didn't stop. He said, I was in an older pickup truck. He said, and as I cruised through, I caught his headlights. He said, and I estimate in his drunkenness, in his sleepiness, whatever was going on in his life, said he missed me by a matter of inches. He said, I was so shaken. Time I saw him, high rate of speed. I was so shaken. He said, I pulled over to the curb and just sat there, white-knuckling the steering wheel. I'd gone from the heights of euphoria and living out what I never thought I could do, on stage, clapping, roses, a nice meal, accolades of people, and I was moments away. I'm sorry, not his rear bumper, but the front of his truck. I was moments away from being seriously injured, if not killed, if the man had just been a few moments later. He said, once I got the feeling back in my hands, I drove carefully, cautiously. I stopped at every intersection. I looked. I crept my way back home, pulled in, cut the lights off, sat in my vehicle some more, finally made it inside and stared at the ceiling, unable to sleep. He said, my confusion and my shock gave way to gratitude and list-making. I could have died tonight. I almost did. I'm going to call my parents in the morning. I'm going to call my brother in the morning. I'm going to call that guy I hadn't talked to in a while. I'm going to take more risk. I'm going to take more opportunity. I am not just going to be, if that was my last night, I'm going to live life to its fullest. He said that was a Saturday night into Sunday morning. He said, and I lived with that great purpose all of about 3 days. He said, and after about 3 days, I'd kind of forgotten the shock of almost getting hit and almost dying. I'd forgotten all the things I said there on the bed staring at the ceiling and all the people. I was back to eating junk food, kind of sort of going through life, not checking every intersection with the carefulness that I'd done. He said, my problem was that I, help me, forgot. Was that I forgot. Anybody in here, you've had an almost trauma? A coulda, shoulda, woulda? And there, but for the grace of God, you almost overspent. You almost made a bad decision. You almost were involved in an accident. You almost grabbed the wrong medicine. We are people who like to wash things over and not live challenged by the dramatic, traumatic events in our life. Let me help you. If you feel like you're alone, I got news for you. You're in good company. 40, 50 people in the room struggle with the same exact thing. And there's one thing in particular those who are followers of Christ really struggle with. Is we don't think very often, as often as we need to, about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've learned not to sing about it. We've learned not to think about it. See, how do you know that? Because we are cavalier with our sinfulness. We are cavalier with the things that hurt the heart of God. We are almost done together. We will excuse it if it even does bother it. And the calluses have rubbed until they are gross all over our hearts and our souls. And we must remember and not forget. And that's what he institutes that night there, John 15. He institutes this memorial meal, the supper, that is to help us to be tuned in again to what matters. Don't forget what I am going to do for you. Don't forget what I did in my body, in my precious blood that was spilled. Don't forget that. And again, there's a good discussion about all the religious jewelry and stuff that's become popular in the last 75, 100 years. I mean, not to make a statement about that, but I would remind us to not be casual even about that. We've got totems and pictures and jewelry, and I think we probably think less about it than we ever have. And we must remember, So I want to help. I want to give you some truths, and I want to give you some practical applications. Then we're going to absorb the Lord's table together. Is that okay with everybody? Let me just take a little poll. How many of you, like me, you might go through a day or 2 days or even a week and not really think about that place, which we now describe as an event, that place we call Calvary and is what he did for us? I think if you're like me, you need help maybe remembering. So let me give you a couple things. Let me give you some biblical principles, some Bible principles about the Lord's table. If you're with me, say amen. All right, here we go. Number one, this is meant to be a symbolic or a memorial. It's not meant to be what we call sacramental. Not what we call sacramental. I go to the doctor. I go to the doctor a lot to be my age. Doctors, let me rephrase that. And every time I go, especially if I hit somebody new, they say, what meds do you take? And I go, And I'm so lazy, I got a sheet printed out. I keep with me. I go, here you go. And they go, what's the milligrams? Why are you taking this milligram, not milligram? When they start asking that, I go, I don't know. But when I come down, I've got these supplements that I take. Anybody here take supplements? Fish oil, green eggs, ham, all right. That kind of stuff, you know. It gives me a good coat on my hair and all those kind of things. And they say, why do you take that? And I go, it's been a while. I finally just started saying, I take it because my wife told me to. And they write down, henpecked. And they write it down, because I don't remember all them. Why do you take this? I don't remember. I had a secretary years ago, and every time I'd have an ache or an ailment, she would say, you need to take this. She had a book of supplements to fix things. Now, not for nothing, she was very sickly. And so she was not the world's best advertisement for what she was doing there. And she would send these things, and I had lockjaw. She says, you need to start taking this. And out of desperation, I did. I don't know if the supplement worked or the placebo. I didn't care. And those kind of things. And we're here. We go, well, this does this. And I had one lady, I was taking something. I told her something. She smirked at me. I went, well, that does a whole lot of nothing, apparently. But I can't stop taking it because Andre will get on me. And so I'm teasing a little bit. And we're here. So what do you mean? Christ's death and his resurrection are what has power. It's not the cracker and it's not the juice. They are symbolic. His body was shed for us. His blood was shed for us. His body, his blood. If you grew up in the Northeast and you grew up in a Catholic church or maybe a parochial school, you heard these words quite often, hoc est corpus meus or mes. The young men heard it so often, they took and slammed it all together and turned it into the prestidigitation, incantation, hocus pocus, one thing turning into another. And I got news for you. Nobody's ever prayed over anything and turned them into something else, much less turning into the body and the blood of the Lord. It's not what the Bible says there. It's not transubstantiation. It is symbolic. It is to remind us. It is a beautiful picture, a beautiful exercise. I'm no more Mary because I've got a band on my finger. But that band represents something. And the bread and the Jews. And I've often thought sometimes, man, if we get a big picture of a Welch's and get everybody some cups and pour that out and get some tough French, it couldn't be French bread, it didn't need leaven, but get how big would that be? You kill somebody with a loaf that big, that dense. But anyway, and do that and rip it apart and get us a little bit better idea. But the symbol that is there, man, it's to point us and to remind us of what Jesus did. Why? Because we forget. How do you know that? Because you sin and I sin and we never think about it hurting the heart of God. We come, we half-heartedly sing, and we withhold our offerings, and we don't get in the Word because we've forgotten we do this for the audience of one. It's a symbol. So be a symbol. If we could give grace, and that's the idea of sacramentalism. If we could do this, man, what would we do, man? We should be giving out crackers and juice. And again, nobody would argue that because it's for the person of faith. Exactly. This doesn't help me. This doesn't impart grace to me. I receive it because I've already had grace. It's not a memorial. It's to be a memorial rather, not just a meal. They struggle with this. The word remembrance there, this doing remembrance of me, means to actively stir up one's mind and to meditate upon the person of Jesus Christ. Newsweek several years ago published an article, "Are You Out of Time?" I clicked on it because I thought it was talking about death. He was just talking about how pushed and frantic we are. Phone beeps and buzzes all the time. Excuse me. We watch so much TV. We crowd out other good things. We go to bed exhausted. The blue light gives us insomnia. We wake up and we struggle with maneuvering out of bed. And we come and we need many cups of coffee. Excuse me. Then we're half asleep in the afternoon from eating poorly. And we push things off and we shove our closets full and we shove our garages full because we never take care of things and we kind of saturate and sate ourselves here. And we are always struggling with doing this. Let me tell you one thing that's been pushed out. The eternal's been pushed out of our minds. Men and women, boys and girls are on their way to a devil's hell and they need to hear the gospel. And when we think about the cross, when we meditate on who Christ is, that reminds us what's important. You hold that stale little brittle cracker in your hands in a minute. He died so that everyone could know. My sin was about the stripes on his back. My sin was the nails through his hands and feet. It's my sin when the crown of thorns was plaited and put on his head. I'm to actively stir up my mind. That's why we try and announce it early so you can think. Not just a meal, not just a time for them to come together. So what were they doing there in Corinthians at the Corinthian church? They'd messed it up. Have you ever figured out that if Christian people can mess something up, we will? Man, we can just take the simplest thing and munge it all to pieces. Somebody said, why don't you have a bunch of committees at Hardin Valley Church? Because they will inevitably mess things up. If we can mess things up. It's bad enough that the goofball preacher only gave y'all crackers and juice and only gave y'all juice over here. I can mess things up a whole lot. I say that. We have leadership and we're developing teams. I'm saying that with a smirk on my face here. But have you ever noticed? Have you ever noticed? As a guy I got to know, he pastored across town. They started having people come in, started seeing people saved, started seeing people discipled, and they ran him off because there was too many new people. He, his wife, three young kids. If we can figure out a way to mess it up, we'll mess it up. We have to be careful. It's to be a memorial and not a meal. But more on this do. I'm to actively meditate and think about Christ. We're going to give you the implements in a minute. And we're going to pause, think, remember what he did. It's to be an examination, not evangelism. The meal doesn't save you. It doesn't convert you. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. If getting wet would transform me, we need to get those air cargo planes, fill them up with water, and just start dousing people at the football games. Amen. if it's just about the implements, again, everybody needs a cracker and juice that's been prayed and blessed over. It's not about evangelism. It's about examination here. So how do I examine myself? How to examine myself? Let me offer these two. Number one, approach the Lord's Supper by judging yourself. Examine yourself. God, where am I at? Where am I at spiritually? Every so often, somebody will say, "You know, I've got a young person in here," or whatever. And I always leave it up to the parents again. If they don't know what's going on, all they've got is a snack. I don't think a lot about it. You help us out there; it's fine. But if you're an unrepented of sin, you be careful for you observe the Lord's table. You examine yourself. There's bitterness in your heart. You examine yourself. They were so flippant about it. God said, some of you are sick. Some of you are this. And some of you are asleep. Some autonomy. Some of you are dead. And you're going, man, that would sure liven up a Lord's table service. I don't think that's the kind of livening up we want. Examine yourself. Are you carrying known and unconfessed sin? I have some colleagues, and they do church discipline at these services. They call out the names of people who hadn't been in service in so many months, who refused to do things. And they do that as a way of church examining because the people refuse to examine themselves. Number two, he says, accept the chastening of the Lord. Accept the chastening of the Lord. Your Bibles are still open there. Your Bible's still open. Go back if you would. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened the Lord. We should not be condemned with the world. Confess, repent, turn from your life of sin, knowing that God is chastening you out of love. These services remind us to keep short accounts with the Lord. Anybody in here ever turned around and you had a mountain of laundry? Anybody ever had a mountain of dirty laundry that turned into a mountain of clean laundry? Anybody in here ever moved clean laundry more than once? Kept it in the basket and moved it? How many of you are under conviction right now? Just come ahead and come forward and confess your dirty and or clean laundry. Anybody in here still use a honey-do list or honey-do-this-or-else list? Anybody in here know someone in the nag family? You said you're going to do that. I will get to it later. And all of you that live by yourself, if you nag yourself, that's your own fault. And you're there. I'm going to do it. Here's the deal. When God's getting a hold of your heart, you need to accept that. I'm not worried about when God pricks my heart and I feel guilty. I used to bug me to death. You know what I get worried about now in my life? Can the preacher be real and transparent for a second? You still with me? When God says, hey, and I go, He says, hey, and I go, You better not be getting good at telling God later. Because the whisper and the tap on the shoulder and the little bit louder voice all of a sudden turns into providence. And God will get your attention. I want to be sensitive and tender to Him. Coming right out of my treatment, I started having a pain in my feet, or pain in my toes, actually, which was weird because I didn't have any feeling really in the rest of my feet from all the treatment and stuff. And it became fairly intense. It was just so odd, nothing and thin, just a couple of my toes. And I stepped to my made an appointment, stepped to my foot doctor, and he got in there and he said, "Oh, you've got all these problems." And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "You do." I said, "Well, they just feel a little bad." He said, "You have all these problems. I'm going to help you right now." I said, "Well, I'll make an appointment." He said, "No, we'll do it right now." He said, I've got to put all these shots in there. And he apologized. I said, "I can't feel anything other than these three bad toes. He apologized again. He shot me four or five times. I didn't feel any of them. And he numbed up my feet. And he said, "How'd your feet get so bad?" I said, oh no, I haven't felt it till recently. He said, these have been bad for a little while. And I told him about the treatment and all. He said, oh, never mind. He said, it's so common. He said, until it got unbearably painful for most people. He said, it was just now it kind of cut through your damaged pain receptors. He said, I'm really sorry. I said, well, for once, I'm glad, because I didn't feel any of your shots. And getting a shot in the toe is no fun, so to speak. I walked out of there. Excuse me. I went like this out of there. And I left, and I thought, that's a pretty good metaphor there. You get numb, you get bitter, you get calloused, and all of a sudden it takes a big deal. Now you're in agony. Don't do that. Examine yourself. Take the chastening of the Lord. Take the chastening of the Lord. So that preacher always preaches right where I'm at. No. That's not the preacher. That's the Lord, the Holy Spirit, getting hold of your heart. You say, well, you don't know what that person's done. I don't need to know. God knows, and he told you to repent. Don't observe the table and the meal, and you've got unconfessed sin in your life. Number three, he says, serve one another. Wait for them. Don't be this way. Don't eat ahead of time. Think about others. How many of you think our church needs to be consumed with others? Others, Lord, yes, others. How many of you struggle with it being about you instead of it being about others? Me and mine, me being comfortable, me doing this, all these kind of things. Serve one another. I can do this. I can serve them. I can love them. I can pray for them. If we are strangers in and strangers out, we're just a nice group of people who dressed up to come hear a bald guy preach. That's not a church. Church serves one another, loves one another, prays for one another, does life together. We need to do that. Stop acting selfishly, not just about you. How can I do? How can I serve? How can I demonstrate love for one another? He says to do that, number four, and don't bring condemnation on yourself. I grew up around electric fences. Anybody grew up around electric fences besides me? Anybody? Like, okay, a lot of you. Good. Good. Anybody mess with younger people when you're around electric fences? Hey, it won't hurt. It's like a tickle. Anybody still need to repent of that, what you did to someone? Yeah. Tickle. It'll tickle. My first and last time somebody got me to grab an electric fence with my hand closed. It's depending on the current, you're not letting go until somebody knocks you off of that thing with a stick or something. And so it only took the one time, and then I needed to see if it was on or something, and there wasn't a younger person around that I could lie to and get him to check it. You touch it like this. Because again, as soon as you touch it, what happens? As soon as you touch it, depending on the current, it's enough, and it'll make your hand withdraw. Some of you that do electrical, helped out electrical, you know, that's one of the first things they teach you. If you have any doubt at all, always approach things that way, and, you know, and use your multimeters and all those kind of things. But anyway, when he's talking about about this, you go, well, you know, won't be me. Won't be me. Regular observance, thinking about Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the price he paid for my sin reminds me, don't blow up your life. Don't invite the chastening of the Lord. I can grab that and it won't get me. No. It's undefeated. Examine yourself. We try and do it with some regularity around here to have these moments. Sometimes we do it at the end of the service. I'm taking the full service today. What's God put his finger on your life last 2 or 3 months and you've said no to him? What's God put his finger on your life in the last few weeks and you've said, wait, later? And you're right there. You got your hand open, and the electric fence wire is there, and you're going, you know, I'll be able to grab it and let go of it. Do not do that. do not bring condemnation on yourself. There's a final thing that accompanies this, and it goes back to the text. It causes us to look backward and to look forward. It involves the past and the future. Do this. Observe this. Verse 26. You do show the Lord's death until he comes. What's he talking about here? He started the night before his crucifixion. He said, I'm instituting this. You do this. And every time they gather together, every time they would do this, every time the church and the congregation does this, we look back to the old rugged cross and the blood-stained banner. We look back to the awfulness that was them flogging, them beating his back with a cat of nine tails and piercing his wrist and the spear through his side. We look back to all of that, and then we look ahead, because there's a day coming we're going to eat with him again. There's a day coming when everything will be made right, when all will be forgotten and we will ever be with the Lord. He says one day, he calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb, when all of us, his bride, will be there reunited. And we will feast with him and rejoice for the Lamb who was slain, who is now alive forevermore. And so will we ever be with the Lord. And we get to do both. We get to look back. And we can do better than Mike Rowe, being transformed for about three whole days. God's changed your life. He's changed everything about you. He's changing everything about you. Keep short accounts with sin. Look back and then go, there's a day coming. It won't be a thimble full of this and a little stale cracker. It'll be the multivaried love feast with the Lamb. And every tribe and every kindred and every tongue and nationality who have been washed by his precious blood will all be there. And the guest of honor, we will celebrate the risen Lord forever and ever. We do this until the coming of the Lord, looking back and looking forward. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed just for a moment. I'm going to give you a chance to think and pray. Again, my comments have not been about style. Really not about frequency. Just Bible comments.